We need to be conscious of the fact that God leads believers according to His will. Sometimes we don't even realize it. Of course, when we do whatever the Bible says we are to do, it's within the will of God for us individually. Sometimes things come into our lives, however, which are beyond our control and which we were not expecting. We must recognize that these things are within the will of God for us, because in His sovereignty, wisdom, and omnipotence, God could have prevented them had He chosen to do so. But He didn't prevent them. Instead, He allowed or directed them. What's happening in your life right now that's beyond your control? Could it be that it is God's will for you to teach or to direct you in some way? Always thank Him for His direction, even if what's happening was unexpected. And ask Him to continue to direct your life and not to make any mistakes. And of course, we know God never makes any mistakes. So what's going on in your life right now that's beyond your control? We all have things like that. But God knows what He's doing, and we trust Him to bring honor and glory to His name as a result of what's going on. Last Sunday morning, we saw in Acts 23:11 that God advised Paul that he will testify about him in Rome as he had testified about him in Jerusalem. But Paul is in confinement in Jerusalem, which is a long way from Rome. How will he possibly get to Rome? Will he live long enough to get to Rome? Well, Paul, without his knowledge, is about to begin his journey to Rome in this chapter. But it will not be the most direct route, and it will not be what Paul could possibly have expected. We read in Acts 23:11, and the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." We're in chapter 23, but it's not until chapter 28, and it's at least 2 years later before Paul even gets to Rome. But he is not going to die, meanwhile, regardless of what the Romans or the Jewish people want to pull in his life. We closed our message last Sunday morning with Acts 23:12 through 15, which took place almost immediately after the Lord assured Paul that he will testify about him in Rome as he had testified about him in Jerusalem. Isn't God's timing interesting? He told Paul in advance, "You're going to live through this because you're going to Rome." Well, in Acts 23:12, we begin with, "And when it was day, certain of the Jews banded together and bound themselves under a curse, saying that they would neither eat nor drink till they had killed Paul." Well, they're going to get kind of hungry, aren't they? Because Paul has just been assured that he's going to Rome. "And there were more than 40 which had made this conspiracy. And they came to the chief priests and elders and said, 'We have bound ourselves under a great curse that we will eat nothing until we have slain Paul. Now therefore ye with the council signify to the chief captain that he bring him down unto you tomorrow, as though ye would inquire something more perfectly concerning him. And we, or ever he come near, are ready to kill him.'" Paul didn't know anything about this, of course, at this time. He'll soon learn, but he didn't know anything about it right now. But you can tell, because it was God's will that Paul goes to Rome, this plot was doomed to failure from the start because of God's promise in verse 11. You know, it doesn't matter what somebody has in mind for you if it's contrary to God's will. It isn't going to happen. God is in control of your life and of my life. Regardless of what you are facing right now, God's in control. And some of you have been through some pretty big trials here lately, haven't you? And if you go back a couple of years, we've all been through a few pretty big trials. We see in Acts 23, starting in verse 16, the plot to kill Paul is exposed by Paul's nephew. Paul just happened to have a nephew in Jerusalem. And Paul's nephew just happened, within the will of God, of course, to hear about the conspiracy to kill Paul, and he advised Paul of it. Paul had one of the centurions take his nephew to the chief captain, where his nephew divulged the entire plan to the chief captain and urged him not to do what the chief priests and elders would ask him to do. Of course, Paul's nephew's hearing about this conspiracy and advising Paul about it was of the Lord. He just happened to hear it. Not really. He happened to hear it because God put him where he would hear it at that time. And when Paul's sister's son, you didn't even know he had a sister, and you didn't know she had a son, and we don't know how old he was, but when Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait, lying in ambush, he went and entered into the castle and told Paul. When Paul's sister's son heard of their lying in wait is used in conjunction with told, and it is indicating either time or cause. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of told, in the sense of after the son of Paul's sister heard about the ambush or heard about their ambush. If showing cause, it's understood in the sense of because the son of Paul's sister heard about the ambush or heard about their ambush. He might have done nothing, but he didn't do nothing. He did what God led him to do. And he went and entered into the castle, and it's used in conjunction with told, indicating two facts in addition to told or time. The tense of both went and entered indicates action which occurred before the action of told. It's been translated as indicating two facts in addition to told, showing time. It's understood in the sense of after he went and entered the fortress or the barracks and told Paul, suggests he reported or announced it to Paul. Within the will of God, the nephew was permitted to enter the castle to see Paul. I'm kind of surprised at that it was permitted. But God was working behind the scene. Paul then sent his nephew with one of the centurions to the chief captain. And within the will of God, the centurion took the nephew to see the chief captain. Then Paul called one of the centurions unto him and said, bring this young man unto the chief captain, for he hath a certain thing to tell him. Then is transitioning to what happened next in the sense of and. Paul called one of the centurions unto him is used in conjunction with said, indicating a fact in addition to said or time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of said, and it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to said. But if showing time, it would be understood in the sense of after Paul called one of the centurions to himself, or summoned one of the centurions. What if the centurion didn't bother to come? But he did. And it was within the will of God. And what's going on in your life is within the will of God. You know, and I know that you and I are exactly the age we are right now because of the will of God. He kept us alive through things that should have killed us. But we're here, right here, in Hendersonville, North Carolina, which I never heard of for many years in my life. But God put us here together. Paul called one of the centurions and said unto him, bring or take or lead this young man to the chief captain, meaning to the commander or to the military tribune. This young man had been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. It's tense. It reads literally, this young man bring, meaning take or lead to the chief captain, to the commander or to the military tribune. Was the military tribune available? He might have been busy. He might have been out of town. We don't know. But four is introducing the reason Paul said this to the centurion. He hath a certain thing to tell him, means a young man, that's Paul's nephew, has something to announce or to report to him. That's the chief captain, the commander, or the military tribune. Within the will of God, the centurion introduced Paul's nephew to the chief captain. And within the will of God, the chief captain listened to the nephew and acted accordingly. Who knew whether this would actually turn out this way? Well, God did, of course. So he took him, verse 18, and brought him to the chief captain and said, Paul the prisoner called me unto him and prayed me to bring this young man unto thee, who hath something to say unto thee. So he's introducing an inference drawn from Paul's request to the centurion. It's understood in the sense of therefore, consequently, accordingly, or then. He is the centurion. Took him, meaning took Paul's nephew, and it's used in conjunction with brought, indicating a fact in addition to broader time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of brought, and it has been translated as indicating a fact in addition to brought. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after taking him with, or after taking him along. And brought him to the chief captain means he brought him, that is Paul's nephew, to the commander or to the military tribune, and said, introduces what the centurion stated to the chief captain. Paul the prisoner called me unto him, and it's used in conjunction with prayed, indicating a fact in addition to prayed or time, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of prayed. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition. It's understood in the sense of the prisoner Paul called me to himself or summoned me. If showing time, it's understood simply in the sense of after the prisoner Paul called me to himself or summoned me and prayed me. That's a different usage of the word prayed than you're used to. To bring this young man unto thee is, means simply and asked or requested that I bring or lead this young man to you. Who hath something to say unto thee is who, referring to Paul's nephew, has something to tell you, the chief captain or the commander. And then the chief captain took him by the hand and went with him aside privately and asked him, what is that thou hast to tell me? Can you imagine the chief captain taking a 30-year-old man by the hand and leading him somewhere? No. How about a teenager? Probably not. To me, he's young. How young? I don't know, but old enough to have understood what was said. We have no way of knowing. Why don't we have any way of knowing? Because it was not God's will to tell us. God could have told us. He was 13 and a half years old. But God didn't tell us that, did he? Well, the chief captain then took him by the hand. This is used in conjunction with asked, and it's indicating a fact in addition to asked, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of asked. This means the child didn't say anything until he got there, where the chief captain asked. It means the chief captain or the commander took hold of his hand. The interesting thing here is that the age of Paul's nephew is not given, although the term translated young man is often used of a man in the prime of life between 24 and 40 years of age. Can you imagine the captain taking a man who is 40 years of age by the hand and leading him anywhere? No, that just doesn't fit, does it? But the fact that the chief captain took hold of his hand hints that he may have been fairly young. However, his understanding of what he had heard hints that he was not too young, and went with him aside privately, which is used in conjunction with asked, indicating a fact in addition to time or asked, to ask or to time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of asked, and it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to asked. And if showing time, it's understood in the sense of after withdrawing or after he withdrew with him, meaning with Paul's nephew, privately. Privately may instead be understood with asked. And asked him. He, the chief captain, inquired from him, this young man, Paul's nephew. Can you imagine the head of the Roman garrison listening to a kid? It just doesn't make any sense to me, except it was God's will. What the chief captain asked Paul's nephew is, what is it that thou hast to tell me? What is it that you have to report or to announce to me? And the nephew explained the intended deception planned by the conspirators to get the chief captain to do something on the next day. And he said, the Jews have agreed to desire thee that thou wouldst bring down Paul tomorrow into the council as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly. Isn't it interesting how deceptive these religious rascals were? Sure they're. And isn't it interesting that they couldn't wait to kill somebody? And transitions to the nephew's answer to the chief captain in the sense of then or so. He said means Paul's nephew said. The Jews have agreed to desire thee. The Jews decided through an agreement among themselves to ask or to request you, the chief captain, that thou wouldst bring down Paul tomorrow into the council is in order that you might bring Paul down into the Sanhedrin tomorrow. Tomorrow and into the council have been placed in positions of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally in order that tomorrow into the council or into the Sanhedrin you might bring Paul down as though they would inquire somewhat of him more perfectly is similar to the statement made in verse 15, but slightly different. It is as intending, as proposing, as having in mind, as if they intend, as if they propose, or as if they have in mind to inquire or to ask more carefully, meaning more accurately, concerning him or concerning Paul. Oh, it was a well-concocted scheme, and it's amazing it didn't happen because it was not the will of God. Paul's nephew revealed the conspirators' plot to the chief captain, urging him not to comply with their request. The lad said, but do not thou yield unto them, for there lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee. But, of course, is introducing an inference drawn from the conspirators' plans to murder Paul. And it's understood in the sense of, therefore, consequently, accordingly, so, or then, do not thou yield unto them. Where thou is used singular, and it's emphatic and refers to the chief captain. You do not begin to be persuaded by them, meaning by these Jewish conspirators. Four introduces the reason for what Paul's nephew has just said to the chief captain. There lie in wait for him of them more than 40 men. More than 40 men of them, of the Jews, are lying in wait for him. It means they are concealing themselves in a suitable place for a surprise attack on Paul, which have bound themselves with an oath that they will neither eat nor drink till they have killed him. They've put themselves under a curse, neither to eat nor to drink until the time when they have put him, meaning put Paul, to death, or have destroyed him, or have done away with him. Of course, this would also endanger any soldiers accompanying Paul to the supposed meeting in the Sanhedrin. The soldiers would have been there to protect Paul. Would they have survived? Well, we don't know. And now are they ready, looking for a promise from thee? Now they are ready or prepared while waiting, and are waiting for the promise from you. Ready has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which says, and now ready or prepared are they. Looking for is used in conjunction with are, indicating time or a fact in addition to are, and its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as are. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of while, or while they are looking or waiting for. A promise from thee is the promise from you, meaning the chief captain, that you will bring Paul down tomorrow into the Sanhedrin. Within the will of God, the chief captain actually listened to the nephew and took what the nephew told him seriously. Would you have listened to this little guy, this young kid? Did he really know what he was talking about? Well, we see in verses 22 through 35 that Paul gets transferred overnight to Felix in Caesarea. The chief captain then sent Paul's nephew away with instructions not to tell anyone what he had reported. Within the will of God, the chief captain took steps to ensure the nephew's safety before he sent him away. Keep quiet, kid. Don't tell anybody what you told me. The chief captain was about to carry out some of God's will for Paul to get to Rome, where he would bear witness of Christ. And of course, the chief captain had no idea that he was carrying out God's will for Paul to eventually get to Rome, where he would bear witness for Christ. If you will think back in your own life about how God got you here today in this church, you will have to realize that some things happened in your life in accordance with God's will, which no one had any idea about these things being God's will for you. That certainly applies to me. Yet, these things were God's will for you or for me. We can all truly say, Jesus led me all the way. Isn't that something? You know, every once in a while, somebody comes up with the idea that somebody's going to have a baby they weren't planning on, as if it was an accident. It was no accident in God's sight. Okay? God's the one that gave life. within the will of God. The chief captain also ordered a large contingent of soldiers, cavalry, and spearmen to escort Paul safely to Felix, the governor, departing from Jerusalem at 9 p.m. that evening. He also sent a letter to Felix following orders. The soldiers escorted Paul through the night to Antipatris. On the next day, the 70 cavalrymen continued to escort Paul from Antipatris to Caesarea to Felix, the governor, and delivered him along with the letter the chief captain had sent. Truly, this was God's will for Paul. God led him all the way. Let's look at verses 22 through 35 in detail. Within the will of God, the chief captain sent Paul's nephew away with instructions to tell no one what he had told him. So the chief captain then let the young man depart and charged him, "See, thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me." So then, introduces an inference drawn from Paul's nephew's request to the centurion. It's understood in the sense of therefore, consequently, or accordingly, or so, or then. Maybe I should have said the chief captain instead of the centurion there. I think I should have. The chief captain let the young man depart. Is the chief captain or the commander sent the young man away? He dismissed the young man, let the young man go, and charged him. Is used in conjunction with let depart, indicating a fact in addition to let depart or time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of let depart, and it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to let depart, and is understood in the sense of simply and gave him orders, or and commanded him, or and instructed him, or and directed him. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after he gave him orders, after he commanded him, after he instructed him, or after he directed him. The chief captain's instructions to Paul's nephew were, "See, thou tell no man that thou hast showed these things to me." It's to tell no one that you have disclosed these things to me or have informed me of these things. No man and these things have both been placed in positions of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally, to no one or to nobody to tell that these things you disclosed to me or informed me. It was God's will to protect Paul's nephew from the Jewish men who were intent on murdering Paul. And so he was given good advice within the will of God. To protect Paul, the chief captain ordered a large contingent of soldiers with cavalry and spearmen to get ready to travel at 9 p.m. that evening. And he called unto him two centurions. They are soldiers in charge of 100 men each, saying, "Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea, and horsemen 70, that's 70, and spearmen 200 at the third hour of the night, starting at 6 o'clock, that's the first hour. Third hour is 9 o'clock. And continues what the chief captain did after sending Paul's nephew away. He called unto him two centurions. He acted immediately. He wasn't wasting any time within the will of God, remember? And he said, indicating a fact in addition to said or time, its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of said, and it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to said. It's understood in the sense of he summoned two of the centurions. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after he summoned two of the centurions. Saying is, he, the chief captain, said, and what he said extends through the next verse, "Make ready 200 soldiers to go to Caesarea is prepare 200 soldiers in order that they may proceed or travel to Caesarea. And horsemen, 70, indicates that they were also to prepare 70 horse riders or cavalrymen. In addition, they were to prepare spearmen, 200, a contingent of 200 light-armed foot soldiers who may have been bowmen, spearmen, or slingers. At the third hour of the night, that's 9 o'clock, or from then on, it indicates when they were to be ready to leave. They were to provide animals on which Paul was to ride and to bring him safely to Felix. All of these 470 soldiers and cavalrymen would be carrying out God's will for Paul without their realizing it, and provide them beasts that they may set Paul on and bring him safe unto Felix the governor. And continues the chief captain's instructions to the two centurions. Provide them beasts. That's an interesting way to phrase it. Suggests that the centurions were also ordered to provide mounts, meaning riding animals or horses. Beasts has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. Of course, it reads literally, beasts, provide. As indicated by the italics, them has been supplied by the translators in reference to the soldiers. And that introduces the reason riding animals were to be supplied. And it's understood in the sense of in order that, or so that, they may set Paul on, is used in conjunction with bring, indicating a fact in addition to bring or purpose. Its tense indicates that its action would occur before the action of bring. And it's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to bring. If showing purpose or intended result, it's understood in the sense of to set or to put Paul on. Here, God, within his will, was providing Paul with a ride for him to get to Caesarea. It was a lot better than walking. And bring him safe unto Felix the governor is in order that, or so that they might bring him safely to Felix the governor. God was providing protection for Paul for his trip to Caesarea. Within the will of God, he would also have an armed escort. Can you imagine 470 armed men escorting you someplace? That's a bunch. And he wrote a letter. The chief captain wrote a letter to Felix. Its content is found in verses 26 to 30, and the entire verse is used in conjunction with the instructions given to the two centurions. And it means he wrote a letter somewhat as followed, meaning to this effect. And he wrote a letter after this manner. After this manner indicates that Luke, who's the writer of Acts, is not reproducing the exact words of the chief captain, but is merely giving the general gist or essence of what the chief captain wrote. The letter from the chief captain to Felix begins in verse 26. Claudius Lysias, that's the name of the commander, unto the most excellent governor Felix sendeth greeting. Claudius Lysias is the name of the chief commander in Jerusalem, and he's hereby identifying himself as the writer of this letter. We usually put the signature at the end of the letter, but this was done in a consistent with the practice at that time. Unto the most excellent governor Felix indicates the intended recipient of the letter. Once again, the one to whom it is addressed is mentioned at the beginning of the letter. We might say, Dear Felix, but that's not exactly what was said. It's a strongly affirmative honorary form of address, and it's understood in the sense of most noble Felix. Sendeth greeting is simply greeting or greetings. The letter from the chief captain to Felix continues, This man, course, a reference to Paul, was taken of the Jews and should have been killed of them, then came I with an army and rescued him, having understood that he was a Roman. Now, this is what the man wrote. It's not the total truth, however, as you will remember. And should have been killed of them. I skipped a paragraph, didn't I? This man, Paul, was taken of the Jews, suggests this man who was seized by the Jews, further describes him. It has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which has been retained in the King James translation, and should have been killed of them, is, and who was about to be killed with them. Then came I with an army and rescued him. Having approached with the troops, I rescued him. Came with an army is used in conjunction with rescued, indicating a fact in addition to rescued or timed, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of rescued. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to rescued, but if showing time, it's understood in the sense of after I came with the troops. In the Greek text, I, which functions, or which, excuse me, which refers to Claudius Lysias, the chief captain, is the subject of rescued. And what has been stated this far is true. But having understood that he was a Roman is not true. Yet it is an accurate statement of what he wrote. Do you know that there are some lies found in the Bible? And here's one of them. This man lied. But it's accurately reported what he did. Satan's also said a lie to Eve. Thou shalt not surely die. You shall surely not die. Which was a lie. But it's accurately reported in the scriptures. In the Greek text, of course, I, which refers to Claudius Lysias, is a subject of rescued. Understood that he was a Roman is used in conjunction with rescued, indicating cause. And its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of rescued. It's understood in the sense of because I learned, or because I found out, or because I ascertained that he, meaning that Paul, was a Roman citizen. But as you will recall, back in Acts 21, he did not send his troops to rescue Paul after he learned that Paul was a Roman citizen. When he rescued Paul, he thought Paul was an Egyptian who had previously stirred up a revolt. It was after he rescued Paul and was about to have him scourged that he learned that Paul was a Roman citizen. Yet, his rescuing Paul was in the will of God for Paul. A Roman is simply a Roman citizen, and it's been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text. Of you, it might be said that you're an American, meaning an American citizen. It reads literally, having learned that a Roman citizen he was. Paul's being a Roman citizen was part of God's will for Paul. Most of you are American citizens. And why are you? Because it was God's will for you to be born of American parents in this country. Lots of little things are God's will for you or for me, and we don't even think about them. Lest he find himself in trouble, the chief captain conveniently omitted from his letter the fact that he had bound Paul and had ordered him to be examined by scourging, which was against Roman law because Paul was a Roman citizen. So there was a method to his madness, but he still lied. In verse 28, the letter from the chief captain to Felix continues, and when I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him, I brought him forth into their council. and transitions to the next statement made by Claudius Lysias in his letter. When I would have known the cause wherefore they accused him is used in conjunction with brought forth, indicating cause. Its tense indicates ongoing action occurring at the same time as the action of brought forth. It is understood in the sense of because I was wanting, desiring, or wishing to know, to learn, to ascertain, or to find out the reason for which or why they were accusing him, I brought him forth into their council. As I brought him down into their council or into the Sanhedrin, taken at face value as translated, this statement suggests that the chief captain accompanied Paul to the meeting with the Sanhedrin, but it may instead mean that Lysias caused Paul to be brought down into the Sanhedrin by some of his subordinates. Realize that it was God's will for Paul to address the Sanhedrin, and the chief captain, without knowing, did what God wanted for Paul. Lots of things occur in our lives that are God's will for us that somebody else does, and we have no idea why they were doing them, but except that God wanted it done that way. Think about how much God's control has been in your life and continues in your life. Why do you have 15 children? Because God gave you 15 children, if that were in fact his will. You understand? Why are you the age you are? Because you were born on the day of God's choosing. Why did you have the parents you had? I know there were times when you were a teenager, you might have wished for different parents. But God didn't give them to you. He knew what was best for you. Why? You can ask that all day long, but remember, God was in control and still is of your life, whether you like it or not. The letter from the chief captain to Felix continues in verse 29, whom I perceived to be accused of questions of their law, but to have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds. Whom refers to Paul, and I refers to Claudius Lysias, the chief captain. I perceived, I found, or I discovered to be accused of questions of their law is used to describe whom. It's literally being accused about controversial questions or issues of their law, but introduces another phrase in mild contrast to being accused or about controversial questions of their law. It is used to describe whom, which refers to Paul. To have nothing laid to his charge worthy of death or of bonds, meaning having no charge or accusation deserving of death or of imprisonment. The letter from the chief captain to Felix concludes in verse 30, and when it was told me how that the Jews laid wait for the man, I sent straightway to thee and gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee what they had against him. Farewell. And transitions to the final statement made by Claudius Lysias in his letter in the sense of now, then, or so. When it was told me how the Jews had laid wait for the man, it's used in conjunction with sent, indicating time or cause, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of sent. It's been translated as indicating time in the sense of after it was told me, or after it was reported to me, or after it was made known to me, or after it was declared to me, or after I was informed of a plot which was about to be directed against the man by the Jews. If showing cause, you just simply substitute because for after in each of those statements. Because it was reported to me, because it was made known to me, because it was declared to me, or because I was informed of a plot which was about to be directed against the man by the Jews. I sent straightway to thee, as I sent him immediately or at once to you, Felix. Straightway has been placed in a position of emphasis in the Greek text, which reads literally straightway, immediately, or at once, I sent him to you at exactly the right time. Paul, within the will of God, had been sent by Claudius Lysias from Jerusalem to Caesarea with an armed escort. Claudius Lysias can talk all he wants about how he really handled this situation so well, but God was in control. And he gave commandment to his accusers also to say before thee, what they had against him is used in conjunction with sent, indicating a fact in addition to sent. And its tense indicates that its action occurred at the same time as the action of sent. It is literally ordering or commanding also the accusers to say, to declare, to state before you in all the things they have against him. Means ordering also the accusers to bring charges against him before you. Claudius Lysias concludes his letter to Felix with farewell, which he uses at the end of his letter to wish for Felix's well-being. Following orders, the soldiers escorted Paul during the night to Antipatris. Within the will of God, although unknown to the Romans, Paul was actually on his way to Rome and would make a 2-year stop in Caesarea before continuing to Rome. Then the soldiers, as it was commanded them, took Paul and brought him by night to Antipatris. Then continues the narrative of Paul's transfer to Caesarea. And it's understood in the sense of, so then. The soldiers are the 200 soldiers, the 200 spearmen, and the 70 cavalrymen who were sent by Claudius Lysias to escort Paul safely to Caesarea. As it was commanded them, indicates that the soldiers followed the orders which Claudius Lysias had issued to them. It was in accordance with what had been ordered to them. But remember, it was God's will for them to do this, even though all of them may have been unsaved. That didn't make any difference. God's still in charge of the whole thing. Took Paul. It's used in conjunction with brought, indicating a fact in addition to brought. Its tense indicates action which occurred before the action of brought. It means that they took Paul along with them and brought him by night to Antipatris. They took him, Paul, through the night unto Antipatris. Now, you are probably not familiar with Antipatris except for this passage. It was a military post about 35 miles from Jerusalem and 27 more miles from Caesarea. The soldiers and spearmen then headed back to Jerusalem, and the cavalry stayed to continue their accompanying Paul to Caesarea. On the morrow, they left the horsemen to go with him and returned to the castle. A word appears in the Greek text which was not translated into the English, and it transitions to the next thought. In the sense of and, now, or then, on the morrow, very simply, on the next day. They left the horsemen to go with him is used in conjunction with returned, indicate a fact in addition to returned or time, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of returned. It's been translated as indicating a fact in addition to returned. It's understood in the sense of they permitted the cavalrymen to go or to proceed or to travel with him, meaning with Paul. If showing time, it's understood in the sense of after they permitted the cavalrymen to go, to proceed or to travel with him. And they, of course, refers to the 200 soldiers and the 200 spearmen and returned to the castle. They returned or turned back to the barracks or the fortress in Jerusalem. How much time they had for rest is not made clear. But if they went 35 miles one direction, they're going to head back 35 miles the other direction. Suppose you could handle 70 miles walking in 2 days. Suppose you could handle 2 miles walking in 2 days. We understand, we're not used to that kind of travel. And they returned to the castle. They returned or turned back to the barracks or the fortress in Jerusalem. Then we see in verse 33 that the cavalry delivered the letter with Paul to the governor in Caesarea, who, when they came to Caesarea and delivered the epistle to the governor, presented Paul also before him. Who refers to the 70 cavalrymen? When they came to Caesarea, it's used in conjunction with presented, indicating time or a fact in addition to presented, and its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of presented. It's been translated as indicating time. It's understood in the sense of after they entered Caesarea. But if showing a fact in addition to presented, it's simply understood in the sense of they entered Caesarea. Same truth, either way. And delivered the epistle to the governors, also used in conjunction with presented, indicating time or a fact in addition to presented. And its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of presented. It's been translated as indicating time. And it's understood in the sense of after they delivered or handed over the letter to the governor. But if showing a fact in addition to presented, it's understood in the sense of they delivered or handed over the letter to the governor. The epistle is the letter written by Claudius Lysias, and the governor is Felix. The cavalrymen presented Paul also before him. Means that they presented Paul to Felix in accordance with the will of God. Paul had been presented with a ride from Jerusalem to Caesarea on this first leg of his journey to Rome, where he would stay for a stopover of about 2 years until he would then be transferred the rest of the way to Rome. Paul was transferred by the cavalrymen to the custody of Felix. And when the governor had read the letter, he asked of what province he was, and when he understood that he was of Cilicia, and transitions to what the governor did in the sense of then. When the governor had read the letters used in conjunction with said in verse 35, indicating time. Its tense indicates that its action occurred before the action of said. It's understood in the sense of after the governor, meaning after Felix read the letter which had been sent by Claudius Lysias. He asked of what province he was, as used in conjunction with said in verse 35, indicating time. Its tense likewise indicates that its action occurred before the action of said, and it's understood in the sense of after he, meaning after Felix, asked out of what province he, Paul, was, or what province he was from. And when he understood that he was of Cilicia, it's a third phrase used in conjunction with said in verse 35, indicating time. And its tense likewise indicates that its action occurred before the action of said. It's understood in the sense of after he, meaning after Felix learned that he, or Paul, was from Cilicia. I will hear thee, said he, when thine accusers are also come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall. I will hear thee, I'll give you a hearing. A legal technical term meaning I'll give you an opportunity to be heard in court. Said he, Felix, said, when thine accusers are also come is whenever your accusers will arrive or are present. That Felix will give Paul a hearing was definite. But the time of the hearing was indefinite, depending on when the accusers would come. And he commanded him to be kept in Herod's judgment hall, and he, meaning Felix, ordered him, meaning Paul, to be guarded in the praetorium of Herod. It was the Roman headquarters, and Paul was to be guarded there in order to prevent his escape. But within the will of God, it was also for Paul's safety. In our last message, while Paul was under arrest in Jerusalem, we saw that the Lord told Paul that he will testify about him in Rome. This was almost immediately followed by a conspiracy of more than 40 men to kill Paul. It resulted in Paul's beginning his trip to Rome. But it was not a direct route and would take over 2 years for him to get there. Meanwhile, God had Paul right where he wanted him and was directing the entire process. Likewise, as we live for the Lord, God is directing our journeys through life. We all know where we now are and where we have been, but in spite of our plans, we really don't know where life is going to take us next. As believers, we know that we are ultimately heading to heaven. Meanwhile, we need to be pursuing after the Lord with all our hearts by faithfully attending the church of God's choosing and diligently studying and obeying God's word. And as we do this, God will direct our lives just as he directed Paul's life. We read in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths." When our lives end, we will be able to say, "Jesus led me all the way." Be certain that you are aware of his working in your life. Realize also that all that's occurring in your life, which is beyond your control, is God's will for you. Instead of resisting and wishing it were something different, thank God for it and ask him to help you learn from it all that you need to learn from this experience. So what are you going through right now? I don't know, in some cases. I may never know. But this one thing I do know, God is in control and is allowing it in your life. So thank him for it and seek to live faithfully for him. Let's pray. Our Father, thank you for the privilege you've given us of studying this portion of thy word today, and help us always to be cognizant of your will in every aspect of our lives. Help us to live for thee and realize that Jesus led me all the way. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.